We've been going through Romans the last few weeks, and you know, I just want to encourage you guys, you know, studying Romans, you know, chapters five through eight, there's so much in here, okay? This is kind of the Magna Carta of Christianity that Paul laid out here, okay? And there's, you can study this and read it over and over. There's so much in here. Last week, Pastor Josh talked about Romans 4, and the idea there is justification. That's what Paul is laying out, is what does it mean to be justified? And he uses Abraham as an example. You know, and God, he came to Abraham. Abram, he gave him a promise of land and descendants, right? What did Abraham do to deserve that? He did nothing. He just came to be, just like if I came to you and I said, I'm going to give you land and descendants. And all Abraham did was believe that promise. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have anybody to look to except receive the promise. And he believed, and the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness. That's a banking term. Into his account went righteousness. All he did was believe. And it's so simple, we miss it. And that's the basis of Christianity. All we do is believe that Christ paid the price for our sins and we're justified. Our standing with God is made, it never changes. That has to do with our standing. Maybe you've heard, when God looks at you, it's just as you've never sinned. That's his blood. It's so, and even some of you, even when I say that, you're like, wait, it's too simple. It's too easy. There's got to be something more. But there's not. That's called faith. And you believe, you don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn that. Just like Abraham, he didn't do anything but believe. And we want to work for it. We want to earn it. Now, once you are justified, your standing with God is complete through the sacrifice of Christ. The process of sanctification begins. That's a process. That's God molding you and shaping you and testing you and proving your character, and you're becoming more like Christ. That doesn't stop until when we see him, we'll be like him. Okay, and so this is some foundational teaching of Christianity here in Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, having been justified by, how are we justified? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, here in the first few verses of chapter 5, Paul's going to give us some of the blessings of being justified. So we're justified by faith, and so what does that mean in our own life? He's going to give us some blessings, and the first one he gives us is peace with God. And so the Bible teaches us that an unsaved person is actually at enmity against God. In Ephesians, it describes an unsaved person as children of wrath. Now, does that mean that God doesn't love them? Of course he loves us. Of course he loves everyone. He desires that all men should be saved and that none should perish. But there's a wrath that's coming on the earth for those who don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, the Bible says you're actually his enemies, is what it says. Isaiah 48 says this, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Why? Because, and he's going to talk about this in Romans chapter 5, we've broken the law. We've broken God's law, and he's a just God, and there's a judgment that comes when we're against God, against lawbreakers. So the first thing that he does, justification gives us, is peace with God. We have peace. When we lay our heads down at night, we're at peace with God. We're no longer children of wrath. We're no longer going to receive the wrath that's coming on the earth. The Bible talks about that in Thessalonians. There's a wrath. We're going to get to that here in a second. Okay, and so look in verse 2. Through whom we also have access to God. We have access by faith into this grace. The second thing that justification gives us is access to God. We can go straight. We don't have to go through a priest. And you guys know in the Old Testament, there was a Holy of Holies. This was a place that the high priest went in once a year to make atonement for the people's sins. And there was a veil. And when Christ hung on the cross, that veil was ripped. It was rent in two. And so there's no longer a separation. The veil was ripped. Access means entrance to the king through the door, through the favor of another. Think about that. Entrance to the king through the favor of another. That veil was ripped, and so we have access to God. There's no wall. There's no separation. And we can come to him. Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace where you may find help in a time of need. And so we have access to him, to God, through our justification, through our believing in Christ. The third thing, look in verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's a glorious hope that awaits us. That's what Romans 8 talks about. We'll get to that. But the whole earth groans for the glory of God. One day we're going to all share in his glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's rejoicing in glory. And one day, you know, people all over the earth. In fact, I met a friend here that Dave Vartanian brought from Africa, Liberia. I've been to that part of the world. I got to go a few years ago. Great suffering there, right? Much more than here. We can't even imagine. We can't even imagine the suffering that the Civil War brought there. But you know, one day we're all going to share in his glory. Not all of us are going to see the glory here on the earth like some of us, you know, have just a better quality of life than some of our brothers and sisters. But one day we're all going to share in his glory. We're going to receive a crown. We're going to rejoice in his glory. There's a glorious hope that awaits us because of our justification, our right standing in Christ. Look in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. I mean, that's one of those verses like in James that says, you know, when you're in a trial, rejoice. It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, but the Bible says we glory in tribulations. And this has to do with our character. Justification is no escape from the trials of life. And maybe you're a new believer or you've just begun coming to church and you think now that you're born again, now that you're a child of God, you have no more trials. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Justification, it doesn't mean any escape from the trials of life. In fact, Jesus said, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. Okay, and so, when we're God's children and we go through these tribulations, something's going to happen in our own hearts. Okay, this is called character is being built. Now look in this scripture. This is a great scripture, Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance. So you're going through a trial. It's a financial trial. It's a relationship trial. It's a trial in your career. It's a sickness. You're going through this. It's difficult. When you persevere, when you endure that trial, this is the process. The next thing that's going to happen, the scripture says, character, perseverance, endurance. The next thing that's going to happen as you endure, as you walk through that, the next thing that's going to happen is character. And that in the Greek, that means a character that has been proved. So there's no way God can work character in our hearts and our lives until we've been proved. And that's why we glory in tribulation, because that's how the iron of our backbone, that's how God's going to work and test and prove our character in our lives and make us, and that's how he's going to work that Christ-likeness out in us. So there's tribulation. We endure it. We persevere. We walk through it. And then approved character in our lives. And then what's going to emerge is hope. After we've made it through, we're going to see hope. This word, tribulation, okay, it comes from the Latin word tribulum. And that was a heavy piece of lumber with nails in it that they would use to thresh grain. And it would separate the wheat from the chaff. So there was a heavy piece of wood with nails in it, and that's what they would separate the wheat from the chaff with. And he uses this word, it's the word tribulum. Okay, and that's just how God will use tribulation, trials, to get rid of the chaff in our own life. And you guys have walked through pain, you've walked through adversity. Do we enjoy that? Do we glory in it? No. I don't look forward to those things. And there's been some things in my life I've walked through and I say, God, help me to never walk through that again. But you know what I know? He always gives enough grace for us to make it. Amen. You say, I don't want to walk through that again. But you know, when you walk through it, there was a grace, wasn't there? And God always gives you enough grace. And you look back and you say, when I walked through that, it was painful, it was hard. But you know, I was closer to Jesus than ever before. Tribulation, endurance, perseverance, character. And then what's going to happen as you work through it? Hope. He never will leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's growing us. He's that proved character in our life. Christian character. Character that has been proved. The next thing he does, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So here's the deal. If you've been disappointed in your life, there's a disappointment, something, you know, that word disappointment, it's a misappointment. You thought there was going to be something that was going to happen. It didn't happen. It didn't work out. The Bible says hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. What does that mean? That means that no matter, nothing we walk through on the outside can separate us from the love of God. That's what Paul said. There's nothing external you can walk through on the earth that can separate you from the love of God. Because it's been poured out in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God, his love heals our hearts. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. He's a loving Father. He's working in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. There's no circumstance that can separate us from that. And then he says, for in verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. How do you know God loves you? So how do I know that? Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we know. Because when the Bible says, he came to his own knew him not. We were away from him. We were not even seeking or following him. We had turned our backs against God, and he sent his own son for us. He demonstrated it. He loved us before we loved him. He saw us. He loved us. He gave his son for us. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood. You don't earn justification. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so he gives us justification, gives us Christian character. He gives us God's love within. He gives us salvation from a future wrath. There is a wrath that's coming on the earth. There is a wrath. And so it's not always going to look like it is now. Right now, many people, especially here in America, we seek a great life. We seek and we walk in many of the blessings of God. But one day, God's going to come, and there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a wrath on the earth. In Revelation, he talks about he's going to pour out vials of his wrath on the earth. And when you're justified, you're going to have salvation from this wrath that's going to happen on the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, there is a wrath to come. And so we're not going to have to endure that wrath that's going to come upon the earth. And look in verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11 is reconciliation. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And so that word, that means reconciliation, that means, it's the same word, it means atonement. He sent his son as a peacemaker that we can be reconciled to God. You know, the Bible says we have a ministry of reconciliation. Peace with God. We are in peace with God, and we're able to bring others to have peace with God. We have a ministry of bringing others, reconciliation, bringing people back to God, atonement, at-one-ment, bringing people back to God. We're back in relationship with him. The rest of the chapter starts dealing with Adam. For one man's sin, Adam, the Bible says, everyone in Adam's lineage is dead. And it even says, from Adam to Moses, before the law, people still died. And then it says, once Adam came, he was the great, great, great grandfather. He was the beginning through his sin. All mankind for his lineage was death because of one man's transgression. You can study out the rest of Romans 5. And then it says, because of one man's obedience, life comes through grace. And he contrasts Adam and Christ. They're both the beginning, okay? Beginning of a new bloodline, a new lineage. And then he contrasts sin and grace. And because sin abounded, Romans says, grace will much more abound in our life. The grace of God. And then we're going to talk about it in Romans 6. It begs the question in Romans 6. And he says, well, if grace abounds, should we just sin? It's all covered. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, Romans 6. Let's say a prayer together. Father, thank you so much for your words, living and powerful. And we just pray right now. I just pray over these men here this morning, God. God, I just pray that we would understand our relationship with you. I pray that scripture, Romans 5:5, because hope does not disappoint. There's things we've hoped for in this life, God. We've been disappointed at times. Things didn't look like we thought, our expectations. I pray that scripture right now. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We thank you that we are in right standing with you. We're justified. We thank you for all of these benefits you've given us. If you did nothing else for us, God, you gave us your son. You gave us life, and we can rejoice in that today. In your name we pray. Amen.